you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Everybody, welcome to a new episode of the Run and Blaze podcast presented by Wendy's. I'm Kareth Burke with Logan Murdoch.
Wendy's.
And I'm just going to tell people right off the top what we're talking about in this podcast. Kobe's memorial, Sabrina Ionescu, Steph Curry coming back on March 1st, and we should probably touch on Klay Thompson too.
Yeah.
I mean, there it is. Those are the chapters of the podcast. Yes. And I just want to take a breath because I watched Kobe's memorial.
I did too.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched most of it. Well, I watched a good amount of it from a cafe in Stanford University.
Why were you there?
Because I was there to see Sabrina Ionescu.
Yes.
Did I say her name?
Yeah, you did. Sabrina Ionescu.
Ionescu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
It looks like Ionescu, but
yeah.
It's not. It's Romanian.
I always called her Sabrina, but
there
I've written her name like so many times last night, so
yeah.
It's been, yeah.
Yeah, I checked the Oregon pronouncer, Sabrina Ionescu.
Okay.
There you go. And sometimes I mistake it and put like a Q on the end of it, but I think it's Q.
Okay.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yes.
Anyway, it was special that she was playing on the 24th. That was that Oregon versus Stanford game, but the 24th was also Kobe's Memorial Day. I was watching at home. I expected to like have it on like in the background.
Yeah.
Which was stupid because it was like quicksand. Watching that, like, I just sunk right into it. Like, I had to be on my couch. I had to be present for that.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I cried.
Okay.
Yeah. I cried first watching Vanessa Bryant.
Can we just say Vanessa's a G?
Oh, my gosh. How did she compose herself for that?
Because she's a G.
And you don't have to compose yourself when you're in grief, right? You could cry your face off if you wanted to. I think it would have been okay if she didn't have the words and if she didn't speak in that moment. But she did.
She did. In front of 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she did that. I mean, she was incredible. She was the best speaker of the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael Jordan was the second best.
Yeah.
Like it was Vanessa the G way up here and then Jordan like a distant second. But it was good. I hesitate to say like, the funeral was great because, you lost someone.
Yeah, you go, what a great funeral.
But
as a memorial for what it did for the city of Los Angeles, welcoming everybody in, the talent there, the way basketball could pay its respects, the way that everybody around the country could watch too. Like, it was on ESPN. It was on CNN. It was streamed a bunch of places.
It was on Tidal.
Was it?
Yeah, it was on Tidal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense for Jay-Z and Beyonce. Yeah. Let me go in the order. Vanessa Bryant, then Diana Taurasi, then Sabrina Ionescu, then Gina Auriemma, Rob Pelinka,
Michael Jordan?
I went to Jordan
Shaq,
and ended with Shaq.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I think that's the
okay,
order.
I think that sounds right. And then there was Kobe spoke. Like the last person that you whose voice that you heard was Kobe Bryant's.
Also, Rob Pelinka was pretty gut wrenching. He's talking about the text that the text exchange he had as Kobe was in the helicopter.
Yeah,
that's Rob is obviously Kobe's probably his best friend in life. So to hear that play by play was tough to watch for sure.
And Sabrina says that she still texts Kobe. And
yeah.
She knows, but she kind of feels like he's going to hit me back. She's going to look at her phone and, there's going to be a reply. Like she said, it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
Back to Vanessa quickly. I remember her saying, Gigi was sunshine. And it's just three words, but that stuck with me for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
A 13-year-old girl talking about, we'll never see her drive. We'll never see her walk down the aisle. She likes making cupcakes. She liked cupcake wars. She liked playing basketball. Like, just you got to look at a 13-year-old's life and how much she had already established for herself, but, like, how young she was, too, and all of these things. And I was also struck by when Vanessa was sharing the pet names that she and Kobe called each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she got, she welcomed us into, we got a little glimpse of their life.
I think the biggest thing, well, yeah, Vanessa was great, but also, like, we saw Michael Jordan be humanized.
Yeah.
Michael was, you know, Michael loved Kobe by the way he talked about him. Mm-hmm. That was like his pesky little brother.
Yes.
That earned the right to be Michael Jordan's little brother, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Despite sheer will of asking questions.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, and it was crazy because Mike was one of the first people. Well, no, Diana Taurasi was one of the first people to bring levity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about LeBron.
Yes.
Fadeaway. That
That's
was funny.
Right.
She was yeah. she was the first one to do it. But then you see Michael also bring levity to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shaq following suit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sad in a lot of ways. You know, a few guys from the Warriors went.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I was talking to Luke Walton earlier today. The Warriors, are, when we're recording this, are playing the Kings right now. I was talking to the head coach of the Kings, who was a teammate of Kobe, and he was talking about how Kobe was somebody that could really capture your attention.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where he was at, he could always capture your attention. I think that he even did that in death. Like, it was a moment. I remember I wanted to – I feel like I don't really like funerals, so I wanted to avoid it. But there was no avoiding that.
Yeah.
There was no avoiding that moment. I remember I went to a little plug here because the food was great. Went to Jimmy V's on the campus of Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get some food. They got it. Great shakes, by the way. You should go tap into that if you're in Palo Alto. But they had a TV up there, and I was just going to get my food and, like, leave. But I was there, and I just sat down for literally an hour because Vanessa had just started speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat for the whole time. And it was rough, but I think, you know, it was a necessary final goodbye.
They had the sound up, or you had to ask for the sound up on
the TV?
They
had the sound up.
That's
like,
what I mean, yeah.
Everyone in the cafeteria, or everyone in the place was standing. It was like time stood still. Everyone was looking up at that one television.
Yeah.
Even the people that were working, I'm like, yo, I wanted a sandwich. And they were like, oh, yeah, 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 cool.
Yeah.
But it was a surreal day.
Mm-hmm. So Steph was there. Clay was there. Draymond was there. The Warriors said Bob Myers was there, although I didn't see him on TV, but that doesn't mean anything. Because they wanted to have, you know, people representing there. And back to what you were talking about, Michael Jordan adding a moment of levity, that he had the best joke. Well, okay, wait, maybe it's his joke versus Shaq's joke. Okay, so Jordan's joke was about, you know, he didn't want to go up there and cry because he didn't want to look at that crying Jordan
meme. Jordan had the best joke for the next three or four years.
Which is time to retire that now, don't you think?
No.
No?
Nah, man. The greatest meme ever.
I mean, I think
for the
so
greatest player ever.
Too, but it has like such an endpoint on it. It has been buttoned up so beautifully. Like, can it go away now?
No.
Because Jordan, he triumphed over his own meme.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
Well, I'm gonna use that. I'm actually gonna text that to you at some point.
crying Jordan
meme. But I thought Jordan had the best joke. I think Diana had the best timing.
Yeah.
Because we were so sad during that time,
mm-hmm.
and we're like. It was one of those laughs. Was like, can we laugh at this?
Yes.
Can we do this?
Yes. Laughter breaks the tension, and oh my gosh, it was needed. So
it was
bad.
So needed because
yeah.
I was going down. Like everybody was crying. You know, it was
yeah.
sad. I saw our colleague B. Shaw on there, Brian Shaw. He mm-hmm. was sad. It was so much sadness, and like rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the most underrated thing in a memorial service is when people bring levity.
Yeah.
Because you need to break that tension in a funeral service. So. I keep saying funeral, memorial service.
I know what you mean, yeah.
But yeah, that was a moment. I'll probably never forget that.
I mean, I like that Michael Jordan tapped into the fact that Kobe could be annoying. You called him the pesky brother. He could be annoying, or
yeah.
he could be an a-hole. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And like, I think Jordan liked that. He's
yes,
like,
I do. Yeah, you have to talk about who Kobe was as a human, and he annoyed the crap out of some people as a competitor. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, like. Jordan never gives us anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a media standpoint. We finally got to see a human side of that. Like
yeah.
him bringing, you know, him being the first one to help Vanessa down the stairs.
Yes.
I don't know, man. He said that Kobe made him feel like wanted to be a better big brother.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really see anything from Jordan.
Yeah.
Other than the shoes.
How was it? I wasn't sure how it was going to be for Shaq to follow MJ. How do you even do that? And then if he's the last speaker, and if there was ever, you know, tension between him and Kobe, again, the big brother, big, you know, little brother relationship, how was that going to be? And then earlier this season, when the news came out that Kobe had died, Shaq was broken up.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what he was going to go up there and say. And he handled it beautifully. Somehow he managed to follow Michael Jordan with his own, like, take on things and his own relationship with Kobe. And then he shared, he kept it brief, which I actually thought was pretty good. Maybe mm-hmm. he didn't give himself an opportunity to kind of break down there. And as the last speaker, maybe you follow along and help other people break that tension by keeping it light yourself. Because he told that great joke. Gosh, I'm going to butcher it. I'm no good at telling jokes.
It was, Kobe. Kobe was with Kobe, and he said, we're just mad. Remember that B-Shaw? Remember that Rick? So he was talking about how, you know, pass the ball, man. Pass the ball, young fella. I can't curse.
Are you going to go all the way with that?
I wasn't involved with that. I don't want to curse.
No, people saw it. It was like, you know, somebody, they wanted Shaq to talk to Kobe about passing the ball, and he's like, fine, I'll do it. And he's like, all right, Kobe, you know there's no I in team. And Kobe responded, there's an M-E in that MF-er.
Yes.
And it brought down the house, and it was perfect because that summarized Kobe.
Yes. But, yeah, I think that really symbolized their relationship. And Kobe wasn't afraid to back down from Shaq, who was a mm-hmm. large human.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Shaq ultimately respected that.
Yeah. So Sabrina Ionescu had a day, if we can move on to this next topic.
Yes, she did.
She spoke. I was struck by the fact that the first three speakers had ties to women's basketball. Diana Taurasi, one of the best basketball players of all time. You don't need to put yes. a gender on that. Of all time.
Of all time.
Then you have the best college basketball player in the nation right now, Sabrina.
I mean, you know, okay. she's making, if she could, I was going to say best of all time, but she doesn't have the chips to do that. But
okay,
yes one of the
right
best
now.
Of all time.
She, yes. And then you have Gino Auriemma, one of the best coaches of all time. He coaches UConn women's basketball. That's where Gigi wanted to play. So there it is, like 1, 2, 3 off the top. It just reminds me of that game, recognized game.
Yeah, you know, like, for sure.
Yeah, and Kobe embraced that kind of stuff.
He embraced women's basketball. And I love how Gino is like, we talked about this offline. Gino was still the competitor,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, yeah, he was talking to Oregon people, but she knew where she was going.
Yeah, she did.
She knew where she was going.
Yeah, Gigi didn't want to pose with the Oregon team. She was like, no, I'll just sit this one out. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Any kind of a chance to get little digs in on each other, but I found it funny and appropriate and very touching because Gino wanted to talk about Kobe, the father. That's how the whole thing kind of started. Back to Sabrina. Her day started off in Los Angeles on February 24th. Her team had a game that night, so she had to fly from L.A. to Palo Alto. The Ducks were number 3 in the country. The Stanford Cardinal were number 4. And if the Ducks won, they would get at least a share of the Pac-12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they won.
Yeah.
And you were at the game. And there
was
a massive milestone, Logan. What was it?
She became the first person, male or female, mm-hmm. to accumulate 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that moment from the baseline, which was really cool. I will say that the shot that happened,
yes,
the shot that did,
it wasn't great.
It wasn't great at all. It did not hit rim.
Yeah.
I don't know who shot the ball, but it went right into her hands.
Yeah.
And she was like, I remember like, I prepped. I had the tweet and drafts. You know how you have the. You
that's right. You're ready, not, to,
you're ready to roll.
Send.
You're ready
uh-huh.
to hit send on that tweet. And like I knew she got a rebound, but I wasn't quite sure, so
yeah.
I had to make sure that she. It was so the shot was so bad it pretty much could have been a pass.
Like, it was an air ball essentially, and
yeah.
it felt right into like her bread basket. Right, I was like, "Is this a rebound? It didn't touch anything. She
yeah.
just kind of collected it. Does that
right.
count?" And it did.
Yeah.
So that her 1,000th rebound in her career was like a stupid one,
yeah.
a weird one. I'm not insulting Sabrina. I'm just saying like she didn't
nah.
really have to fight for it. It just landed in her hand.
For sure.
But she finished the game with 12 rebounds. Her line.
Oh, she took that record.
Her line was 21.
21, 12, and 12, I believe.
Amazing. That is
yeah.
her 26th triple double of the country.
And
she's
second
also.
Straight, I'm assuming. Right?
Yes, she's also the record holder in NCAA Division I history for 26.
Yeah.
She more than doubles the next guy. He went to BYU and he's got 12.
Yeah.
She,
I think, because me and you also went to the Cal Oregon game on last Friday.
Yes,
last week.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that struck me about her, because the Cal game was the first time I ever saw her play live.
Mm-hmm.
And what struck me was a buzz that was around the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great crowd at Cal.
Yes.
I mean, they outdrew the men whenever I go to a Cal game. Mm-hmm. But you see all these people. You see Steph. with his daughters on one baseline. You see Chris Mullin in the cut. Mm-hmm. You know, you see agents. You see
Jim Barnett was there. He brought his granddaughter.
You see New York Liberty head coach mm-hmm. is there. You see Kai Bowman floating around. That's Kai right. Bowman, who trained with Sabrina, they're actually friends in real life. It was so packed in the tunnel, he couldn't even get into the locker room to say hello to his friend. Whereas, you know, it was so. I love the buzz that was in there, but for both games, because the Stanford game, you have Russell Wilson on one, Russell Wilson and Sierra mm-hmm. on one end of the baseline, then you have Steph Curry coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice buzz, and I'm glad to see that with the women's game. Like mm-hmm. I'm glad to see that there's no excuses of, you know, the game is boring, all this stuff. There's none of that. All those manufactured storylines were out the window. I think that we really got to see the excitement that women's basketball provides. And I'm glad. And I think that one thing that Sabrina said in reference to Kobe was he united them
mm-hmm.
in a way that he didn't. He didn't look at gender. He didn't look at all that. And she wanted to make sure the game didn't have gender in it and people were coming no matter what. And I think she's starting to fulfill that because people are coming to see good basketball when they see her.
Thank you.
They're
yes,
not going to see a girl play. They're going to see good basketball. And, you know, she provided that. She was great over this weekend. I was glad I was mm-hmm. able to see.
Yeah, there's no pat on the head for Sabrina, like, oh, look at you, what a great job. There's no patronizing there. It's game recognized game. It's the best athletes recognizing the best athletes. Russell Wilson's sister plays for Stanford, is that what it was?
Hannah, I believe her name.
Okay, so, I mean, you have these amazing guys in the house in awe of the product in front of
them. Not even just them, you got Jordan Poole was at the game.
Yes.
Damian Lee was at
Duck. Yeah, all these guys, yeah.
Yeah, it was it's a great environment at, mm-hmm. at Stanford.
Get on these trains. And I want to talk about some
of the... I feel like I'd be remiss. They also have another... Oregon also has another girl that's going to
have
WNBA.
Three.
One is going... Yes, they have three. One is going... I forgot her name. One is going to... after her... She's bypassing her senior season.
It's Savali? Sebali? And then it's Ruthie... Hebert or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's three. There should be three of them in this draft. And Sabrina, of course, expected to be number one. Amazing that she returned for her senior season. I just read the thing she wrote for Players Tribune where she was talking about 4-4. And that was, we are reaching the final four in 4 years. That was the goal for Oregon basketball. And they reached it last year. And they can reach it again and have a chance to win the championship this year. So, because, I mean, she could have been the top draft pick last season if she wanted to come
out. She's going to be the top draft pick.
Yeah.
And she's going to go to New York.
Yes. I mean, some star power there.
I'm glad they have, yes.
The future is bright.
I remember I asked Chris Mullin last week about that because he's a New York guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so how do you feel about her going to Liberty? He was like, her game can play anywhere.
Yes.
No matter what, New York will love her.
Yes.
New York is going to love her.
Yes. Yes. Hey, one more thing about Sabrina, who is an incredible badass. So she used to hear these comments, you know, like anytime a woman does a great thing, it's get in the kitchen, right, from the smallest minded people. She said, the comment section doesn't faze me. They're talking about cooking. I've been serving triple doubles lately.
Well, that was a bar. That was a bar.
She's up to 26.
Also, like,
yeah.
I just want to say, Steph waited for her to go through all her post-game stuff.
When do you see that happen? Steph Curry waiting for somebody else.
Well, we're usually waiting on him, yeah.
That's what
I mean.
That's
what I'm saying.
Respect.
Like,
the respect.
But both games, he waited for her to come out. And it was respect. Like, it was... They were in a hallway waiting on Sabrina. And Sabrina was, she, you know, normally when you go to a college basketball game, there's afterwards, you know, they go to see their family and things like that.
And they get on the bus.
Yeah, they get on the bus and leave. Nah, she was back outside signing autographs, taking pictures.
Yeah.
For, like, a crowd of at least 200 people.
Ooh.
And I took a picture, put it on my Twitter. It was just.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I'm glad that, you know, she. Women's basketball with that.
There's kids, there's adults, everybody wants to meet her. She's entirely gracious. She's very good with faces and names. She will remember you if she's met you, if you've been good to her. Like, you know, like, I'm not saying she expects anybody to kiss her butt, but I'm just saying she notices who's covering her team.
Right.
And then she, you know, she, I think she's just interested in this game and who's covering it and like, hey, how you doing, and building relationships.
Hey, it's Tom Haberstroh here, your national NBA insider for NBC Sports and host of the Habershow podcast. You're going to want to listen to my latest episode, my interview with the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, Frank Vogel. We'll talk LeBron, we'll go inside the Lakers' championship hopes, and how Frank got on David Letterman. So go download the Habershow wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so speaking of Steph Curry, my guy's coming back.
Your guy's coming back, yes.
The guy. Everybody's guy is coming back.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He said March 1st was always the date.
Always the date.
That's the one that he carried around in his mind, just to have something on the calendar to look at. And it's What to Watch For.
Yeah. It's our new segment, What to Watch For. Are you ready to watch?
I took a big fat pause there on purpose. It's What to Watch For. Yeah. Because
okay,
we need to talk about what to expect. Like, to have Steph Curry come back for the Warriors, to come back for this team, but also to come back for the league.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. I think that he'll, if history suggests, he'll be fine in his first game. More than fine.
Yeah, more than fine.
He'll be really, really good in his first game.
Yes,
back.
Yes.
Because he's, Steve was marveling the fact that how he can stay in shape for things. My only concern is, and in the same presser where he said that it's always been March 1st, he also said that he's still dealing with nerve damage in his hand.
Yeah.
Or nerve issues in his left hand. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, you know, with turnovers and things like that, and dribbling the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen he can shoot.
Yeah.
We've seen that he knows how to shoot since this injury. But I'm curious to see how the turnover numbers are.
You know, he was talking about what's going to be the new normal for him. So it's his left hand. It's his non-shooting hand. But you still, the way he handles the ball, like, you want a feathery touch, and he has to figure out how are those sensations going to feel. How does that scar on the back of his hand feel? What happens after games? You know, like, what's the sensation like after you play 35 minutes? And I tried to ask him a little bit more for some details, like, is it sensation, is it tingling, what is this nerve damage, and he's like, all of the above, but he didn't really elaborate.
He did the Steph thing.
Yeah, he answered it graciously, and I knew he didn't want to answer that question, because he wants to go in detail, and I don't even want to suggest what it could be, but if he's out there on the court, he's okay to play. He's clear. It's just getting used to some different sensations, the new normal, as he put it. So maybe this is something he'll have to deal with for the rest of the season. Maybe it's something he'll have to deal with for the rest of his career. But he explained that anybody who goes through a surgery has to figure out how that body part reacts now. That's pretty normal. So I think he was honest about going through it. I mean, he explained when a 280-pound guy rolls over your hand, you're going to feel some things. So
yeah.
That was Aaron Baines. No hard feelings, but man, that could not have felt good.
Not at all. Seeing it live was rough.
Oh, I didn't like that. No,
yeah.
No. And, you know, as we talk about what to expect with Steph coming back, March 1st, again, that expected date, that would be the game against the Wizards. Steph Curry, I feel like we're saying the most basic things here, has the ability to make everybody on the floor better. He instantly spreads the floor because you have to guard that dude as soon as he crosses over half court. So now with the floor spread a little bit, especially with the way the Warriors like to use their four and five men, they want them to be shooters as well. Just how much space there's going to be now for the Warriors to move the ball and operate and get free. And I'm thinking as Steph comes back, what is this going to be like for Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal finally getting to play with Steph Curry? You're a rookie. It can only make you better.
Yeah.
What's that going to be like?
I don't know, but Jordan's been playing really well lately.
Yes.
He's averaging like 15 a game over his last like five or six. But I think that he's a much better player than he was in the beginning of the year, so that should help. But we all know that the orbit is going to be around Steph. Everything, all the whole, everything with the defense, it's going to be centered around Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to watch and see how he does along this new group. But you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, and for the big men too, there's pick and roll, there's pick and pop. Like, you can have guys be lob threats. It's almost like when Steph comes on the floor, everybody gets to eat, which is amazing because Steph will get his with 30, right?
Yeah.
So he elevates everybody, and I want to see him next to Wiggins.
That's going to be fun.
Wiggins is in a position where he doesn't have to be the guy here. The guys here are Steph, Clay, and Draymond, right?
Yeah.
But Wiggins is good in his own right. And so if he and Steph can build that chemistry, same thing alongside Draymond, like, this team is in really good shape for next season.
Definitely.
And there's exciting, meaningful games to play at the end of the season. Now, meaning doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a playoff team. They won't. I don't think that they're going to be. They're definitely not going to be a playoff team.
No,
what am I even saying?
There's no way.
All season we've had to leave the door open. But you know what? Can we just say, like, I don't think that's
what this season is about. It's been closed a long time.
Yeah, that is what this is about. But that, I'm still trying to make a point that there's meaning for these games because everybody gets better. Chemistry is important. You have that runway now for next season.
Mm-hmm.
And you get better in game situations.
Yeah.
Now Steph is back for a game situation.
It's going to be interesting. I think that I'm looking forward to it. We still got some good games again. Down the line, we have, you know, a game against the playoff team. The Warriors have a game against the playoff team, Denver. We got the Milwaukee, Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
We might see Steph at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he loves to get up for those types of games. So, you know, there's a lot to be seen from Steph and with the new group. So, thanks again to our friends at Bay Alarm. Hey, business owners. Logan Murdoch here for Bay Alarm. Has a pick and roll become a problem at your business? You know, a piece of equipment is there one day and gone the next. Put a stop to that with a video security system from Bay Alarm. Whether you want security cameras to keep an eye on things while you're away, or a professionally monitored video verification system proven to reduce theft and prevent false alarms, Bay Alarm's got you covered. So give them a call and get protected today. Bay Alarm, what do you have to lose?
We did the last podcast hours before we learned the news that Klay Thompson was not going to play this season,
mm-hmm.
which was, you know, we kind of talked about the fact, like, yes, that moment made it officially official, but we really didn't expect him to play this season, so now that is officially official. And actually, Klay Thompson talked to a group of season ticket holders during the last game. I caught parts of it.
Okay.
And one of the things was he's taken up fishing
mm-hmm.
in his rehab, which is really cool because he's got a lot of downtime and he's spending some time in L.A., and he's out on a boat, and he said he is the boat captain. He says he's driving that thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I mean, that's what he says. And then sometimes on Instagram, you'll see his pictures of, like, you know, the fish he catches. He said he's more of a catch-and-release guy, and I was like, oh, that's cool. That's kind of like how you are as a shooter. But
bars.
The big ones, he'll fillet and then eat those dudes up. Now, he also got a question from an audience member. What's the most used app on your phone? And he's like, I don't really have – he's like, I use a flip phone. And in my mind, it went like, Scourge? You use a flip phone? I had heard something like that earlier this season. And it was somebody – I cannot remember where I heard it or read it, but it was like, Clay is difficult to get a hold of, and he's not really on social media a lot. He's just not the guy with his phone in his hand. He had a flip phone. Maybe it was even from Clay saying, like, offhand, like, nah, I got a flip phone. He said it again. He has a flip phone.
So, I mean, he's posted on Instagram.
Listen, and I agree with that. I know there are naysayers like, that's impossible.
I'm not going to say it's not impossible. I'm just saying that he might have a...
His primary phone is a flip phone. Okay, and I do believe he's got some sort of other phone, but I don't think it's like, it's not Tiso saying, like, hey, Clay, can you post, like, thank you for the birthday watch we gave you? Like, people have control of his social, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He doesn't have to be the one posting that stuff. I do think he's the one posting, like, funny comments under Zaza's stuff or whatever, but he's got help on his social, right? So that's why, if I hear these words coming out of Clay's mouth, I have a flip phone. I completely believe this, and I think it makes a lot of sense for him.
I mean, yeah, when I saw that you tweeted it out, and I was like, that sounds about right.
That sounds about right. It's perfect
for
Clay. Who wants to be left alone? Maybe he has a flip phone for everybody else and a personal iPhone or something for important people.
Imagine, like, trying to text Clay.
I imagine it all the time. I don't know what it's like. He might respond, like, 11 days later. What do you think?
Oh, man, I just saw this. No, I'm not going.
He's got a bat phone for his important people and a flip phone for everybody else.
He has a bat phone for important people and a trap phone for...
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know what that is. one last thing while we're on the topic of Klay Thompson. He was one of the finalists for the Olympics, for the Olympic
mm-hmm.
Games on that USA roster. There were 44 names. Steph and Draymond were among them as well. I was reading this week, though, like, there's an IOC member... who said, we need to keep an eye on coronavirus and we need to make a decision in the next 3 months. If coronavirus isn't contained, they have to look at the option of canceling the Olympics. What the hell?
That's
some serious stuff. You would do that in the interest of health and safety. You have to prioritize that stuff. But should the worst happen?
I don't think they're canceling.
I hope not. I really, really hope not.
I don't think they're going to cancel.
Because for like a dream deferred for all of these athletes, that would be absolutely
It's the Olympic,
heartbreaking.
Dude. That's like
absolutely
the Super Bowl on times a million.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think
it's the pinnacle of sports. It is a world. It has like world intrigue with the best athletes.
If those people have to go in and like Bubble Boy or something like that to make sure they're contained, nobody plays. They just have no one goes in.
Yeah.
They just have the cameras going.
Yeah,
I think they'll do it.
Yeah, I hope nobody's dream gets deferred because the Olympics is major. So, but coronavirus. Let's leave the podcast saying, wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash
dude.
Your hands, ladies
Sanitize,
and gentlemen.
Please
wash your Thank you for listening to the Run and Plays podcast. He's Logan. I'm Karis.
Sponsored by Soap.
Sponsored by Soap and Wendy's and Bay Alarm. We'll catch you guys next time.